message ready for this morning. And the pastor slash leadership slash conference, I came away with like a million thoughts. And my mind was all over the place. And I went, I did all this research, and I have these statistics and these news articles and everything else. And then we changed plans. And when we were changing plans, I was like, you know what? I'm not going with that message this time, because I had slides and all that stuff, and we're going to do the same message here as there, so I'm not going to vent it. We're just going to wing it. I'm going to stand on a chair and let it rip. But at the same time, I was kind of preparing like three different messages, maybe even like five in my phone, but three in my head. And as I was developing this, it kind of changed. So I was sending Bob like some notes and some pictures, and then I send him another one like a day ago and say, scrap all that. We're starting over. So we'll see, you know, it's all God. That's all I can say. Like, it's not what I want to bring to the pulpit, because I'm just but a worm, like of me, no good thing. But through Christ in me, by the Spirit of God, it's what he wants to bring to the pulpit, right? And that's what really, really matter. So we're going to bounce around. And if you're a note taker and a Bible highlighter, Bible thumper, we're going to hit three portions. And the title of the message this morning, and I changed the title like five times while I was studying, but I think the final answer is make the Word of God personal. So if you're a note taker, maybe you jot that across the top. Look at Bob Dobbs go. Huh? That was a text at 7 a.m. saying, it changed, Bob, and here's my latest notes. This guy, he's awesome. Make the Word of God personal. And I want to hit kind of three different portions, three different scriptures, principles, truths. And I want to maybe talk about us knowing our value in Christ, but then us also preaching it from the rooftops, right? Knowing our value in Christ and preaching it from the rooftops. And I think we all need to remember or be reminded and be encouraged in some of the very basics, the very finished work of Christ principles. And like, that's kind of where this message went. The original message was totally different. It was like nothing like this. And as I got studying and reading, I was thinking, man, let's just go back to some of the very basics. So I think this morning, that's what we're going to do, is we're going to go back to the basics, and we're just going to be reminded and we're going to be encouraged of very foundational truths that we as Christians need to know, but then also us as Christians, we need to tell other people, right? So let's say there's three key points. If you like notes, maybe the three key points, the three key words could be value, word number one. Word number two could be salvation. And word number three could be position. So the theme, the title could be make the Word of God personal. And our three words this morning could be value, salvation, and position. So let's pray, and then we're going to open up to Matthew chapter 10, and my portions this morning will all be coming from the New King James. So Father, we give you this word, we give you this message, we give you these thoughts. Let them not be thoughts of mere men, but let them be thoughts from your throne. Help us to think with Christ, to share Christ, to preach Christ from the rooftops. And help us to take your word and make it personal to us, personally, individually, as a family, as a church, and then share it with the world. Use this vessel, these words we ask. Take your word and knit it to our being. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 10, And I'm going to read 27 to 31. And then we're going to do a little thing with some money. And then we're going to have a tiny skit. And then we're going to kind of bounce around a little bit. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 27 to 31. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Preach it on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's a little wake-up call, huh? Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So let's leave that verse on the screen, Bob, of more value than many sparrows, okay? I want you to just think about that for just a moment. God doesn't look at you and say, they're worthless. He doesn't look at us and he say, they have no value. No, God sees us and he sees value. Otherwise, he would never have let Jesus go to the cross and die for our sins, right? No, he sees you and he sees the value in you. And he says, they're not worthless. They have worth. They're not without value. They have value, right? So I like to take verses like this, and here's where our title comes in, is make the word of God personal. I like to take verses like this, and I like to kind of stick your name in there. And we're going to do that with three different verses this morning. We're going to take the verse, and we're going to put your name in there. So I see Deb Gatto. I'm going to pick on Deb Gatto. Ready? So do not fear, therefore, you, Deb Gatto, are of more value. Right? Take your name and stick it right there, right? You, Dave Truella, are of more value. You, Emily, are of more value. You, Marcy, are all of more value, right? Take your name, and when you're reading the scripture and God is speaking to us, take it and pause on it for just a moment and stick your word, you stick your name in that verse and let God speak to you personally. You are of value. You are of value, right? And that's what we want to do. When we read the scripture, God's love letter to mankind, we don't want to read it like third person, third party, unsaved. What does this mean? No. We want to read it and we want to make it personal. We want to say, how is God speaking to me in this verse? And God is saying, you are of value. You aren't worthless. And the 1828, the verse, the word value in the 1828 dictionary, it gives this verse. And it says, value is worth. You are of worth to God. What a great thought, right? I remember we were in Bolton Landing one time, Lake George. It might have not been Bolton Landing, but I'm pretty sure it was Bolton Landing. And there was people in the park, and it was kind of loud. I think it was a 4th of July picnic. And Paul Parks and I and some others, Pastor Moore was doing like a mini message, and nobody could really hear him. So he said, there's a shed. Let's throw Pastor Moore up on the rooftop of that shed and let's let him preach it from the rooftop. Was anybody here there? Do you remember that? Oh, yeah, there's a handful, right? So we're like, all right. So we grab Pastor, we throw him up on the rooftop, and all of a sudden, you know, his voice is coming out from the rooftop. And he is preaching to the crowd of people their worth and their value, and he is preaching it from the rooftops, right? One time in Shepherd's Park, I think it was Frank Paller. He's like, hey, Pastor Scott just calls me out of the crowd. Come up here and do a mini message. It was in the middle of a concert, right? Our church goes out and does different concerts. So I'm like, all right, what am I going to do, right? So I reach in my pocket, and I had like a crisp $20 bill. Today, I have a crisp $100 bill. I grabbed this morning. Peyton's going to jump on the camera for me. And I thought of this idea of worth and value, right? So if I took a $100 bill, and I'm looking out to a crowd of people, and I say to you, who wants this $100 bill, right? Who wants this $100 bill? You know, yeah, everybody's raising their hand. I'll take that $100 bill. Come on up. No, no, no. That's not the point of the message. But the point is, this $100 bill, it has a worth, right? It's worth $100. It's worth $100. That means you could go in a store and you could buy $100 of groceries, or you could go on Amazon or wherever it may be, and you can purchase things because there is a worth, there is a value of this $100 bill, right? So what if I took the $100 bill, and then what if I crumbled it up? How much is this $100 bill worth? It's worth $100, right? No matter if it gets crumbled up, or, you know, what if I was to rip it in half, right? I see people cringing. Oh, don't rip it in half, right? I'm not going to rip it in half. But you can make that noise, like, yeah. But I'm not actually going to. What if I crumble it up, throw it on the ground, and what if I even take it a step further and I stomp on it? How much is that $100 bill worth? $100, right? So our life in Christ sometimes feels like that, doesn't it? Like the world wants to chew us up and spit us out. The world wants to crumble us up and throw us to the side. The world wants to say, ah, you're worthless. And sometimes I can be torn up by the world. Sometimes the world can really hurt my emotions and hurt my feelings. But you know what? In Christ, we don't want to live by our emotions. We don't want to live by our feelings. We want to live by the word of God, and not only live by the word of God, but we want to take the word and we want to make it personal to us. God says, even when you feel like you are cast out, even when you feel like you are torn up, even when you feel like you are crumbled, God says, you, my child, are of value. Grab the word of God and make it personal to you too, right? All right, let's have a very quick skit. Rhema, come on up. Paul, come on up. Who likes to watch skit guys? Who watch skit guys? I love skit guys. And they're redoing things and they're doing masterpieces. So let's put you, like, is she in the camera right here, Peyton? She's in the camera. Okay, got to make sure we have this on camera. And then Paul's going to come over here. All right, so in the skit, guys, there's this skit, and we're doing the 20-second version. I'm not even going to let them talk. I got the mic. And there's this skit where they talk about God's masterpiece, and they use a chisel, right? So let's pretend Paul is God, and Rhema is us. Rhema is you, right? So in the skit, and Paul, go ahead, right? God starts addressing things in our life, and he says, you have some pride, but you are my masterpiece, right? You are my masterpiece. But I, God, as the master builder, and you as the masterpiece, I'm going to help you out, and I'm going to chisel things out of your life. Pride, adultery, right? Fornication, that secret sin that nobody knows about, these various things, right? And God is saying, but I will help you out. Thanks, guys. Steve, you got them good. We'll need those at 11. But if you want to see the full one, go on Skit, guys. We watched it a few times yesterday at our house. But God says you are of value. And God as the master builder, he works things out of our lives, right? Dr. Stevens once said, God will put people in your life on purpose to rub you the wrong way. Okay, what? God will put people in your life on purpose to rub you the wrong way. He wants them to be like that gritty sandpaper and you to be like that block of rough wood. And he wants to use them to ease the edges of your life. He wants to use them to work out those rough spots in our life, right? But even while that process is going on, God says, you, my child, are of value. Nothing more, nothing less. You are of value. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. And we know these verses, right? I would call out Gabby to come up here and quote them, but I won't this time. Gabby is with us as a friend, as a guest. Ask her later about John 3:16. Ask her. She has an awesome story. But we know this, right? John 3:16, it's the classic. One soul is worth all the world. If it was just you, Jesus would have still died on the cross because he cares for you, because you are of value, because you have worth. John 3:16 and 3:17, New King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we're going to add 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Right? Not to condemn, but that the world through Christ would have salvation. Right? Our first word is value. Our second word right here is salvation. Let's go back to John 3:16, Bob, on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Excuse me, sometimes I quote the King James because that's what I memorize. So I might say whosoever. But when I preach, I try to preach from New King James to bring it a little more modern, especially because I'm with youth mostly. So let's make it personal again. All right, let's make it personal. How can we take this verse and how can we make it personal? We're going to take the word world and we're going to put your name there. For God so loved Patrick that he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved Paul Moore that he gave his only begotten Son. And then you can get rid of whoever and stick your name in there again, right? For God so loved Rhema that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Rhema believes in him, the person of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, Rhema should not perish, but have everlasting life. Make the word of God personal. Don't just read it as it's another book collecting dust on my bookshelf. Don't do that. That's a trap. The devil would love it to be just another book of my many, many books. No, this book right here, this is the book. This is the Bible. This is the word of God written to us that we might know him and know him personally, that we might have the mind of Christ, that we might think with him. What a great offering, huh? The thoughts of God. That we would have that mind. Grab the word of God and make it personal to you. In the skit guys, when they're talking about the masterpiece, one of the things they say at the very end, he stands up and they always kind of fade everything out and they fade in on him. And he says, God doesn't make junk, right? God made us. We are his children. We are his creation. He is the masterpiece. He is the master builder. We are the masterpiece. He doesn't make junk. You are of value. Grab the word of God. Make the word of God personal to you. All right, let's go one more portion. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I not too long ago, I think I used this as an entire message up here when I was preaching. I love Ephesians. It's probably my personal favorite book. Deb says, me too, right? I think Pastor Schaller once said if he got lost on a desert island and he could have one book, he would either go with Romans or Ephesians, right? I love Ephesians. Like, how much more personal does God get than Ephesians? How much more does he say who we are in Christ and then Ephesians? How much more does he say where our position is in him than in Ephesians? You want homework? Read Ephesians 1 and 2 and outline it. And then go back and do it again. There's a cool movie called Overcomers. It's about a young girl, and she's a track star, and she becomes a track star, and she's unsaved. And as she starts getting to know God and understand God, the principal of her school makes her go home and read Ephesians 1 and 2 and outline who she is in Christ based on Ephesians 1 and 2. And it's so important in Bible college. And here's some of my Bible college notes. This says Introduction to Theology. And this is fall of 1997. I was in there in 1999 to 2003. But it's titled Who I Am in Christ. And this is, I got to flip here. Oh, it's not going to do what I'm thinking it's going to do. Oh, yeah, it is. 60 different things about who I am in Christ. If you want a copy of this, I can give you a copy of this. But it is so important to know who we are in Christ. And one of the ways we get to know who we are in Christ is by taking the Word of God, making it personal, taking verses, and when God is speaking to us, take your name and stick it in that verse and say, wow, God, he's not speaking to everybody right here at this moment. He's speaking to me. And let God speak to you personally through his word. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved and raised up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. Remember that. Not of yourselves. My value, right? My value isn't based on my works. My value isn't based on what I have done or what I am doing, but my value is based on what Christ has done on the cross for me and me by faith through grace, accepting Christ into my life, and then by the Spirit of God walking in the newness of life. It's not of my own works that I obtained salvation. It's by Christ. And he says that, right? Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. That's that great word, poema. You are God's poem. You are God's masterpiece. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Mr. Dobbs, let's jump back to verse 6 in the New King James. And let's do our little experiment one more time, right? We have three key words. Our three key words here are value, Matthew 10, salvation, John 3, 16:17, Matthew 10:27-31. And our third word is position, right? And here we are, Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 10. Position. Now, because I've accepted Christ in my life, God knows the number of hairs on my head. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing. Now, I've accepted Christ. Now, I live in my position. And what is my position? My position is right here, right? This is my position. This is my position. Let's take our name again, and let's play a little fill in the blanks. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And made Mark Hance sit together in heavenly places. Where are you seated once you are saved? Spiritually speaking, you are seated in heavenly places. This isn't my home. This earthly vessel, this earth, my house in Scatico, that's not my real home anymore. My home, when I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me, and he seals me with the Holy Spirit of promise, it says in Ephesians. Now my new home, positionally, my new home is I am seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's my home. Again, I can't say it enough, and I'll repeat it, and I'll preach it from the rooftops. Again, right? Here is where my value lies. Here is where my salvation lies. Here is where my position lies. Again, make the word of God personal to you. Grab verses like this. And I like to say, and Pastor says, and we hear it in Greater Grace, don't just read one verse, because sometimes it's really easy. You read one verse, you can take it out of context. Read a few verses before, a few verses after. Go back and look at when was the book written, Ephesians, you know, Paul, the church of Ephesus. Look at the history. Look at the context. Even read, I like to read the whole chapter and then break it down to, you know, a paragraph, then break it down to a verse. Because sometimes people in this world, we won't name any names, but there's even churches in the capital region, they'll take one verse and they'll make a whole doctrine out of it. And what they're saying is wrong. It's not what God intended Paul to write to the church of Ephesus. Salvation isn't by works, right? That point blank. It's written, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if somebody is preaching, if you are hearing it, and they are saying, you know, you can earn your way to salvation, push the button and turn the radio off. Push the button and switch the station, right? Because it doesn't line up with the word of God. Let the word of God speak to you personal, but keep it in the original context that God meant it to be in. It is his love letter to you, and it is written. So let's just reiterate 3 points, and then let's close. So the three words, right? Value, salvation, and position. The three verses, if you are a note taker, Matthew 10:27-31, John 3:16-17, Ephesians 2:4-10. You are valuable. Make the word of God personal. And you know what? Go back to very Matthew. Bob, let's jump to Matthew 10 and verse 27. The very verse we started at. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach it. Preach it on the housetops. Don't just let these words fall on a deaf ear, but take them to heart and share them to the world. Preach the word of God from the rooftops. And let all men hear. All right, so let's pray. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you. Thank you for encouraging us in your word. Thank you for reminding us that your word is personal. Encourage us in the finished work of Christ. Encourage us in your truths. Help us to take these words. Help us to take these scriptures and memorize them to make them personal, that you are a personal God. Thank you, Jesus. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Those watching on the internet, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want him as your God, you just ask him by his Spirit. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. Jesus, come into my life and live by your Spirit and make me a child of God. I'll say that again one more time. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Jesus, come into my life and live by your Spirit. Seal me. Make me a child of God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, bless these words we ask. In Christ's name, amen. If you prayed that and you've never prayed it before, reach out to us. If you're on the internet, reach out to us so we can get you a Bible in your hands so we can encourage you in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm just going to do a quick announcement.